Graham Barton will be the 31st pick for the San Francisco 49ers in the 2024 NFL Draft. Welcome in, everybody. This is the Golden Pick Podcast, and I will be your host, Guy Deal. Welcome to the first episode of this podcast where I just talk a lot of 49ers football. And one thing I'm really passionate about is talking about the draft, talking about scouting, talking about development of players, and talking about building a roster. So those are things I'm really passionate about. And so with the draft upcoming, obviously that's front and center in terms of what we'll be discussing for the foreseeable episodes. And man, I'm really excited about this one, everybody. This draft has got so much depth, so much depth. And of course, we should be drafting for need. But I also don't want us to just focus in so much on need that we forget some of these talented guys at all the different positions, because as much as the 49ers need depth, we could use a little more talent at some spots. I know safety is a spot where, you know, we found a guy like Jair Brown and in the second round out of Penn State. So the former Nittany Lion got to play a lot last year because of Talanoa Hufanga's injury, and he did well. I mean, we didn't really see him have a lot of busting coverages, and just he was a guy who was opportunistic, got a few picks when they were there to be had. And, you know, to me, it's funny, safeties in some ways are a lot like referees. If you don't hear their name too much, that means they're doing a good job. You know, if we focus in on some of these guys and we're calling out their name or we're pointing to them too much, especially if it's obviously, again, it's in a negative sense where, oh, that's the guy that's getting burned, that's the guy that's getting beat deep or underneath, or that's the guy that's holding, all this kind of stuff. That's why I say it's almost like refs, right? If we don't hear their name, we don't know about them too much, that means they're probably doing their job. And the only time we really heard Jair's name was when he was getting an interception. So to me, that's a spot, though, that outside of Jair, though, if Talanoa, coming off of the big injury, coming off of surgery, long rehab, it's something that we definitely need to and can address in this draft. And so that's a position where not only are we going to add some depth, but I think you can add some talent that could maybe compete to be a starter as well. So just as I said at the outset, though, offensive line, that's going to be the key. I mean, as we remember, pivotal plays in that Super Bowl, and there were many, but the big play that stood out for everybody, and unfortunately stood out for a really, really good kid in Spencer Burford and not as much McKivitz, but really that right side of the O-line just made too many mistakes and just made a critical one in the very end there before overtime and in overtime. But really that one play that should have been a touchdown to Juwan Jennings wasn't to be, right? And that was just a blown assignment. And that's not a talent thing, of course, but because we know that the right tackle spot could use an infusion of talent. I mean, Colt McKivitz has done, you know, a capable job. I mean, he was a fourth-round pick out of Western Virginia. You know, he was picked up in that draft. I remember some of the profile being, oh, he's got the nastiness, and he's going to compete, and he's basically a try-hard guy. You know, big guy. You know, he's a guy that's, you know, he's tough, and he'll be able to come in and compete. And he has, you know, and I think that, you know, forgotten too often in his evaluation is that, you know, he is a guy that can cover the right tackle and right guard spots. You know, he's a guy that can fill in some spots. So I don't think he shouldn't be on the roster. I just think it's one of those situations where you do need an infusion of talent, right? And so that's why, to me, if he's there, and in a lot of the mocks that I've been doing, and believe me, everybody, I've been doing a lot of them, I keep seeing Graham Barton's name there available probably about 8 out of 10 times, you know, that I do a mock. And so I would say Graham Barton is my guy for a few reasons. I think that the 49ers don't just need a right tackle or a right guard in the infusion of talent that needs to happen at those spots. whether they're going to start right away or they're going to need some time, because I know to pick up Kyle's offense, it does take time. But regardless, you need some first and second round talent there. I think, you know, for me, when we lost Laken Tomlinson and we ended up having to replace him at left guard, and, you know, we used a second round pick on Aaron Banks, and he wasn't able to play that first year, right? And whether that was injury or whether, you know, he just wasn't able to play well enough, probably a combination of things, but I would say, you know, again, he wasn't healthy. But once he got healthy and once he learned the system and came in and had a full training camp, and again, a full season, just being able to digest Kyle's playbook, I think that all those things are factors. I mean, he was a talented guy out of Notre Dame. And in a lot of ways, I see a lot of that in a guy like Graham Barton. Because I think that, not to say that he can't start right away, I think he absolutely can. He has the talent to. But I see some versatility in him too, because, you know, a lot of the profiles I read about these guys, and especially with Barton, says, you know, he was a right tackle in college or a left tackle, but, you know, he can slide over and play guard, or he can play center. And that's kind of the word right now on him, is that he can slide inside the guard to right guard, or he can play center, you know? So, and that's, to me, that's appealing. But I really thought he just won his battles so often. He understands how to move his feet. He understands angles so well. And I'm no expert in terms of offensive line play by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm somebody who's passionate about looking at what looks like good technique versus what looks like bad technique. And to me, bad technique is when guys get beat either by quickness or by leverage, and then they're grabbing onto dudes and they're taking bad angles. And in the NFL, I'm like, ooh, that's a hold, you know, or that guy's going to get beat a lot. You can kind of somewhat see that just from watching and continuously watching that individual matchup. And so for me, when I watch his tape, man, he just does such a good job of just getting into guys early. And he understands his angles. He doesn't back up too far, but he knows how to, again, just shuffle his steps and be able to use his power, to use his leverage in a way where his guys very rarely beat him, and if ever, right? So when you look at that tape and you see guys just being absolutely dominant at the point of attack, and it doesn't matter what the DN does or the outside linebacker, they could be using spin moves, they could be trying bull rush, swim moves on him. He just stands his ground so well and adjusts to whatever they're doing. And he's strong enough to do it, and he's quick and agile enough to do it. And that's a big key. I think too often we see guys play left tackle, play right tackle in the NFL, and some of them are agile, but some guys just don't have the agility, the bend, the quickness to be able to move their legs, move their lower half in a way that keeps that defensive end who's just charging, coming around the corner, just screaming around the corner to try to beat them. And this kid does, you know? He does, all right? So for me, if he's there at 31st overall, if he's there, go ahead and take him, because he is the most talented right tackle slash, again, right guard and center combination in that back of the first round. I mean, because once you get past the first two or three tackles and guards, you know, it's really, and even then, I think I put him higher than he's being put. I really think he could be taken in the middle of that first round. I really do. He could be the second tackle taken or third tackle taken. That's how highly I think of his skill set and his technique. And then the size, obviously, is just a bonus. And if he's not there for some reason, the other kid I really, really like, and again, his name is getting more and more popular. I definitely have seen some YouTube videos and YouTubers that talk about 49ers football mention this kid out of Arizona, big kid, Jordan Morgan. Just, again, so dominant, such a good base, and then just uses his hands beautifully to divert the guy whichever way he wants. And it's just really impressive to see the O-line play in this draft, not just early, but in the middle and late rounds too. I've got some great names that in later episodes I'll give you. And I have to tell you guys, if you hear any kind of other noises or whatnot, this isn't one of those podcasts that's on the move, all right? I definitely am hands-free, but I'm definitely driving as I do this. So, you know, what can I say? That's dad life. And so this is the time that I have to be able to record and be able to be present here. So my apologies if you hear some other noises going on around, but hopefully this is coming through as clean and clear as possible. But yeah, getting back to the draft, that's kind of what I see. To me, it's either Barton at 31st overall or Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. And again, both guys familiar with playing, you know, that right tackle. Sometimes they swung to the left tackle spot. I believe Morgan was more of a left tackle dominant guy. So again, and that's something that's really interesting too. And when I kind of analyze these guys and their versatility and their ability to play multiple spots along the line, I obviously think of things like, you know, the fact that Trent Williams is not gonna be able to play forever. I mean, Trent is still playing so well. You know, 35 plus years old, 36 years old, and he's still such a high level. You know, again, so much power, still so much agility. Again, he's just a phenomenal athlete, and he was able to stay a lot healthier last year than he was the year before last. So, you know, if he can stay healthy again, relatively healthy, I think that, because I know he had the ankle thing again late in the year, but overall, I mean, he bounced back so quickly from that, and he was able to really stay healthy pretty much the entire season. I think we missed him, I want to say the Cleveland game, but outside of that, I think he was there for the most part. And so, you know, but that's still a spot, you know. Eventually, whether it's in a year or 2 years, you're going to have to, you know, you can't replace a legend like that. You can't replace him necessarily, especially someone who I think is probably the greatest left tackle maybe ever, definitely my last 30 years of my lifetime. You know, I'm in my late 30s, but man, I haven't seen a guy as dominant and just as talented as Big Trent Williams in a very long time. And so, you know, you got to work some of these younger guys in eventually, and they got to learn. So it'll take a year or two, but you need to replace that void as best you can eventually. And I think that either Barton or Jordan Morgan can do that. So for me, those are the picks. Those are the guys. And with that said, I do want to continue to record some future episodes here coming up where I talk about day two of the draft and day three of the draft. And man, I'm really excited to get to do this. I'm really excited to get your feedback as well. All right. And I'll let you know how to do that. You can follow me on Twitter. So you can follow me at Real Deal Sports, all right, at Real Deal Sports on Twitter, and I'll be putting some episodes out there. I'll be putting some episodes in other formats as well, so you'll be able to see this content hopefully through some other formats really soon, obviously free. And so it'll be a lot of fun for me, and thank you all for listening, and hopefully we'll get a lot more into the draft, and we'll talk about rounds 2 and 3 in the next episode. Like I said, there's a lot coming up. A lot of these new other positions for the 49ers to think about, obviously beyond the offensive and defensive line, the secondary. Oh, there's so much more to come. Thank you so much, everybody. Take care, and we'll see you soon.